strange now. Do you two know how you are censured here in the city? I mean, of us, of the right-hand file, do you?
Why, how are we censured?
Because you talk of pride now. Will you not be angry?
Well, sir.
Why, it's no great matter. For a very little thief of occasion will rob you of a great deal of patience, give your dispositions the reins, and be angry at your pleasures, at the least if you take it as a pleasure to you in being so. You blame Marcia's trivial motion, one that converses more with the buttock of the night than with the forehead of the morning. What I think I utter and spend my malice in my breath. Meeting two such wheelsmen as you are, I cannot call you Lycurguses. If the drink you give me touch my palate adversely, I make a crooked face at it. I cannot say your worships have delivered the matter well when I find the ass in compound with the major part of your syllables, and though I must be content to bear with those that say you are reverend, grave men, yet they lie deadly that tell you you have good faces. If you see this in the map of my microcosm, follows it that I am known well enough to... What harm can your bison conspicuities glean out of this character if I be known well enough to?
Come, sir, come. We know you well enough.
You know neither me, yourselves, nor anything. You are ambitious for poor knaves' caps and legs. You wear out a good wholesome forenoon in hearing a cause between an orange wife and a faucet seller, and then return the controversy of threepence to a second day of audience. When you are hearing a matter between party and party, if you chance to be pinched with a colic, you make faces like mummers, set up the bloody flag against all patients, and in roaring for a chamber pot, dismiss the controversy, bleeding, the more entangled by your hearing. All the peace you make in their cause is calling both the parties knaves. You are a pair of strange ones.
Come, come.
Whither do you follow your eyes so fast?
Honourable Menenius, my boy Marcius approaches. For the love of Juno, let's go!
Marcius coming home?
Aye, worthy Menenius, and with most prosperous approbation.
Take my cap, Jupiter, and I thank thee. Whoa! Marcius coming home!
Nay, tis true.
Tis true.
Look, here's a letter from him. The state hath another, his wife another, and I think there's one at home for you.
I will make my very house reel tonight. A letter for me?
Yes.
Peaceful posture.
On the sudden, I warrant him consul.
Then our office may, during his power, go sleep.
He cannot temperately transport his honours from where he should begin and end, but will lose those he hath won.
In that... there's comfort.
Doubt not, the commoners, for whom we stand, but they upon their ancient malice will forget with the least cause these his new honour. Then have him hold that purpose and to put it in execution.
'Tis most like he will.
It shall be to him then as our good wills, a sure destruction.
So it must fall out to him, or our authorities for an end. We must suggest the people in what hatred he still hath held them, that to his power he would have made them mules, silenced their pleaders and disprofited their freedoms, holding them in human action.
...than him forever.
What's the matter?
You are sent for to the capital. 'Tis thought that Marcius shall be consul. I have seen the dumb men throng to see him and the blind to hear him speak. Matrons flung gloves, ladies and maids their scarves and handkerchiefs upon him as he passed. The nobles bended as to Jove's statue, and the commons made a shower and thunder with their caps and shouts. I never saw the like.
Let's to the capital, and carry with us ears and eyes for the time, but hearts for the...
Come, come, they are almost here.
How many stand for consulships?
Three, they say, but 'tis thought of everyone Coriolanus will carry.
That's a brave fellow, but he's vengeance proud and loves not the common people.
Faith, there have been many great men that have flattered the people who ne'er loved them, and there be many that they have loved they know not wherefore, so that if they love they know not why, they hate upon no better ground. Therefore, for Coriolanus neither to care whether they love or hate him manifests the true knowledge he has in their disposition, and out of his noble carelessness lets them plainly see it.
Well, if he did not care whether he had their love or no, he waved indifferently twixt doing them neither good nor harm. But he seeks their hate with greater devotion than they can render it him, and leaves nothing undone that may fully discover him their opposite.
Thus stood for his country. Therefore, please you, most reverend and grave elders, to desire the present consul and last general in our well-found successes to report a little of that worthy work performed by Caius Martius Coriolanus, whom we met here both to thank and to remember with honors like himself.
Speak, good Cominius. Leave nothing out for later.
Before a vessel under sail, so men obeyed and fell below his stem. His sword, death's stamp, where it did mark, it took. From face to foot, he was a thing of blood, whose every motion was timed with dying cries. Alone, he entered the mortal gate of the city, which he painted with shunless destiny. Aedlus came off, and with a sudden reinforcement struck Coriolis like a planet. Now, all's his. When by and by the din of war gan pierce his ready sense, then straight his doubled spirit requickened what in flesh was fatigued, and to the battle came he, where he did run, reeking o'er the lives of men as if 'twere a perpetual spoil. Until we called both field and city ours, he never stood to ease his breast with panting.
Worthy man.
He cannot but with measure fit the honors which we devise him.
Our spoils he kicked at, and looked upon things...
To get thee a wife.
You're never without your tricks. You may, you may.
Are you all resolved to give your voices?
Nay, nay.
But that's no matter. The greater part carries it. I say if he would incline to the people, there was never a worthier man. Here he comes, and in the gown of humility, mark his behaviour. We are not to stay altogether, but to come by him where he stands, by ones, by twos, and by threes. He's to make his requests by particulars, wherein every...
Most counterfeitly, that is, sir, I will counterfeit the bewitchment of some popular man and give it bountiful to the desirers. Therefore, beseech you, I may be consul.
We hope to find you our friend, and therefore give you our voices heartily.
You have received many wounds for your country.
I will not seal your knowledge with showing them. I will make much of your voices, and so trouble you no farther.
The gods give you joy, sir.
They give you joy, sir, heartily.
Most sweet.
What unto you? Besides, forget not with what contempt he wore the humble weed, how in his suit he scorned you. But your loves, thinking upon his services, took from you the apprehension of his present portents, which most gibingly, ungravely, he did fashion after the inveterate hate he bears you.
Lay a fault on us, your tribunes, that we labored no impediment between, but that you must cast your election on him.
Say you chose...